Again, it's good to see everyone here tonight. Have a short lesson. I think it's a short lesson. Just depends on how much I stumble over it. So if I give my lesson a title, you could either call it Salt and Light or Your Influence as a Christian. And taking that from Matthew 15, Sermon on the Mount there, in verses 13 through 16. And here Jesus says, now this is the NIV version, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So, you may have not thought of yourself, I may not think of myself, as a great influence on others for God. But we are, as Christians, we are and should be a great influence on others in the body of Christ and on family and friends who are not our co-workers. We should be a great influence on those that we come into contact with. Again, you may not think you are, but you are, and then God thinks that you are too. And by the amount of effort the devil uses to stop us, we can say that he thinks we have something worthy of his attention as well. So that's something that we have that even the devil tries to get is our influence. Of course, he tries to influence us. And in turn, the things we do will influence others as well. So, of course, the influence from the devil will be used for bad, to use to bring all those around us to a lower level. But if this influence, if it is harnessed for good and for godly good, well, only heaven itself will be able to reveal just how far our influence can be, how far our influence goes out and touches others. If there is anyone that knows the value of our influence, it is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus had a lot to say about one's influence. So let's start with that. When Jesus spoke of influence, he spoke using the idea here in these verses of salt. So the Christian life in this world is very valuable to God. Just as in those days, salt was very valuable in biblical times in the ancient world. And Jesus often used things in his teaching that people understood. They were familiar with using it on a daily basis. So in those days, people knew very well what salt was, what it was used for. In fact, in those days, it is said that salt was so valuable that the Roman legions were often paid their wages in salt. And this payment was called the salarium, S-A-L-A-R-I-U-M, which is what our word salary comes from. And the Latin meaning for salarium is salt. So the English term, which we call salary, formerly represented a soldier's money, or they would pay him with an allowance of salt. And I've read that the word salt, here again, from Latin, and it was described then as an allotment that was issued to soldiers serving in the Roman army. So I don't know if they give this allotment because it was something that was vital to their health. It's possible that it was. But it was also given as a monetary expression as well. So that's probably where the expression, when you've ever heard it said that someone's not worth his salt, well, that could very well be possibly where that expression comes from. It was possible for salt in that day, though, to lose its flavor. The salt used then was far different, I think, from that which we see today. Our salt is a chemical compound called chloride of sodium or sodium chloride. The salt used in the ancient days was either mined from the salt cliffs along the Dead Seas, which were about 7 miles long and several hundred feet high, or it simply evaporated from the waters of the Dead Sea. But the commentary said either way, it was always mixed with minerals or vegetable matter. And when this substance was exposed to the elements, or when it touched the earth, the salt lost its taste, its salty taste. Even the surface salt that was dug from the cliffs was discarded because exposure to the light rendered it tasteless. And the tasteless salt also lost all the qualities that made it so valuable and sought after to begin with. Now that might sound a little simple, but as I looked through the whole Bible, I found that there wasn't anything simple about it. In fact, Jesus was using an Old Testament idea and was expanding on it. Throughout the scriptures, there are various names God gives his children, called sheep, brethren, little ones, many other names. When Jesus gives us the name of salt, he is reminding us that we have, I think, the opportunity and the responsibility to be an influence in the world. It's interesting that these verses should follow the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus gives some qualities that ought to be present in every child of God. And when we are possessed of these characteristics or qualities, we will certainly be a positive influence and we will make a difference in the world around us. When we are living out the standards of the Lord Jesus in our lives, then we will be like a salt and like a light. So tonight I would like to kind of zero in on the idea of being called salt because of our influence. In this one verse, Jesus makes three statements that need to be considered and understood by every child of God. Let's take the time to look together at them as we consider the thought, "Ye are the salt of the earth." People in general, I don't think, realize the importance of salt in maintaining the life and health of their bodies. Most people don't eat a lot of salt. Myself, I can't never get enough salt. Medical experts tell us that there isn't a percentage of salt that should always be present in our bloodstream, in our bodies. And any great deviation from this amount can or may result in sickness. Salt, therefore, is a sustainer of life. It's a sustainer of other life, too. And for this reason, seawater will support many more organisms than fresh water. As a preservative, salt helps prevent spoilage. And also, salt is an excellent condiment in adding zest or savor or flavor to the food that we eat. So salt held a place of great importance in the biblical days with the Israelites, with all people in that day. Job tells us that salt was used from the oldest times to flavor food. Job 6 verses 5 through 6 says, again, this is from the NIV, "Does a wild donkey bray when it has grass, or an ox bellow when it has fodder? It is tasteless food eaten without salt, or is there flavor in the sap of the mallow? Ancient man sacrificed to God food he found pleasant to the taste and to eat. So salt was included among these offerings. Ezekiel 43, verse 24 says, "You are to offer them before the Lord, and the priests are to sprinkle salt on them and sacrifice them as a burnt offering to the Lord." So in biblical times, salt had become linked with health, hospitality, purity, and durability. And Ezekiel tells us that in ancient times, the Israelites must have had a common practice to have sort of rubbed newborn babes with salt. Because in Ezekiel 14, 16, verses 4 through 5, we find here the Bible says, beginning in verse 4, "On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in clothes. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised." Later, we find that religious rites emphasize the cleansing property of salt. Salt came to stand for the most sacred and binding of obligations. And God said of his covenant with the Israelites in Numbers 18 and verse 19 that it is the covenant of salt forever. Verse 18 says, "Whatever is set aside from the holy offerings the Israelites present to the Lord, I give to you and your sons and daughters as your perpetual share. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord for both you and your offspring." Second Chronicles relates that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by his covenant of salt. According to one commentary, covenant of salt mostly means that the covenant is a perpetual covenant because the use of salt is a preservative. So Jesus calls us salt because of the preserving influence we will have on those around us. Salt also wards off rot, decay. It is rubbed into meat in an effort to preserve it. I'm sure many of you are familiar with parents, if they were old enough to have maybe butchered their own meat, hams, bacon shoulders, stuff like that. They would always put it in a smokehouse sometimes. They would put salt on it to preserve it. And then after so many days, they would wash the salt off. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, in Genesis 19, the Bible says, they could have been saved by the preserving influence of just 10 righteous men. Well, so it is, I think, in not only America, but the world today. I'm convinced that the presence and the prayers of men called salty Christians, so to speak, could have an influence on our world. I think that men who are compared to salt, who have an influence, could be a primary effort in preserving our nation and the world if people were just willing to do it. But, you know, we don't have those that are. We don't have enough. When we look around us today, the devil seems to be so active in everyone's lives. If we are not on guard, then he will gain a foothold on our lives as well. So our influence on others just like salt, will penetrate and infiltrate whatever it touches. And just as salt is an aggressive substance, the early church throughout the book of Acts teaches that Christians of that time were called by the Lord to be an active force in the world around them. Today, all of us who are Christians should be making sure we are spreading godly influence to everyone we come in contact with. It's so important that their influence, or our influence, is not lost out to the devil's ways. Our influence should be refreshing to everyone. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 and 12. Elijah cleansed the waters at Jericho with salt. In ancient times, newborn babies were washed in salt to cleanse their bodies and to give firmness to their skin. Salt in a wound can cleanse the area. Often Christians have a purifying effect as well on the world around them, because we should be behaving differently than the people of the world. It shouldn't surprise us or offend us if the people around us, our co-workers, stop talking whenever we enter a room. Maybe they stop their speech. Makes you think they're talking back to you. But just thank God that you are acting as a purifying force around them, around all that you come into contact with. That's the way we should be. In Leviticus, we read that every meat offering was to be made with salt. Leviticus 2 and 13. So it is with our lives. We are to offer our lives as an offering to the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2. When we do, it proves that we are worth our salt. Our influence should be pleasing to the Lord, bringing out the best in others, just like salt blends and adds flavor to the food we eat. So too, the Christian should flavor the world around him or her as salt. We are to live our lives so that we bring out the best in those around us. And that is what Jesus did time and time again. And that is what you and I should be doing for the glory of God. Whatever happens, Philippians 1 and 27 says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. So what happens when we allow the devil to enter our lives? Well, then our influence becomes like a poison salt, so to speak, that can kill things. For instance, have you ever poured salt on the slugs? Well, slugs and salt do not mix. Salt poured on grass or the lawn will kill it. Too much salt is not good for your blood pressure or your body. So just as bad salt withers a slug or kills grass, then our bad influence can have a detrimental effect on the lives of others. In Judges 9 and 45, Abimelech took a city and he sowed the city with salt to prevent the ground from being used to grow crops. He killed the fields with salt. And by the same token, when true Christianity is sowed into the lives, the homes, and communities of the world, some things will be put to death. We can make an impact on our world around us by the very fact that Christianity is pure poison to sin. And the decision we make in our lives will have an effect on our influence and those around us. The quality of the choices we make in our lives will have an impact or influence on those we care about. Ask yourself these questions. Have the decisions that I have made today, this past week, this month, or this year affected the lives of my loved ones? Well, I think we probably all can say yes. Has my influence at some point gone flat during this time? Again, I think at times, no doubt, we can say yes, because we're human and we often make mistakes. But God gives us the ability to change and make things right with Him again and again, over and over. Here's another question. Are the people around me, especially my friends and family, encouraged to be faithful by the way I am conducting myself daily? Will my influence on them be a preservative for God in their lives? Does my light shine so that others are drawn closer to God? A good influence will promote a thirst for God, just as salt intake creates a thirst for water. And as salt, the Christian has the opportunity to promote a thirst for Jesus in the world. Remember what the Lord told us. He said that out of our bellies would flow rivers of living waters. When we live as Christians should live, when we take seriously a way of life to look right, to act right, to talk right, to worship right, to dress right, then we have the influence it will take to create a thirst for Jesus in the hearts of those around us. When that happens, we can point men to Jesus and share with him the water of life. Sadly, some Christians may not promote thirst. Some may cause the world to ridicule instead or to poke fun of us. Oftentimes, the influence of a Christian can just drive souls further away. You hear many people who say, I don't want to go to church there with that so-and-so. It's just a hypocrite. So sometimes if we live substandard, immoral lives, and the world sees it, then it has an effect on them. It has an effect on the church. And it may keep someone from ever obeying the gospel. So let us strive to live that we prove them wrong. Our lives must be above reproach if we are to create a thirst for God in the world around us. That doesn't mean we're perfect by any means. We're far from perfect. But those around us are watching how we conduct ourselves through the hardships or the circumstances we face in life. People are watching the decisions that we make and the lives we are living, especially in hardships, in turbulent times, maybe even times like today. We must never give anyone reason to say, if that is a Christian, then I never want to be one. Instead, our lives ought to motivate people to say, that is what I want my life to be. It is proven that salt changes nearly everything it touches. We are to be the instruments that God can use to implement change in a wicked world. When genuine New Testament Christianity touches the sinful world, well, there will be a change. When it touches the lives, not only our lives, but those around us, it will change them. We just need to be sure that we are changing the world and not the world changing us. The Christian life in this world is very valuable to God, just as salt was valuable in biblical days. However, when we get to be more like the world than we are like the Lord, then we have lost that influence. And that sets us apart. It makes us less valuable to the Lord's work. So if we allow our salt shakers to be filled with junk, then we are no value to the Lord. In biblical times, when salt lost its savor, it was then taken out and cast into the footpaths or walkways. It was used much as gravel is in our day. Its only purpose then was to kill out the weeds that might grow in the road, so men could walk on them and their sandals, and maybe to keep mud from forming. Literally, it was to be trodden under the foot of men. So every Christian needs to understand that when we lose our saltness, our influence, and when we cease to function as salt in the world, then we too have become good for nothing. And while we might not lose our salvation, we can most certainly hurt our usefulness, our influence for the Lord and for His work in the church. When we are living for the Lord, men may not like us, but there is often a certain respect for the stand that we take and for the example that we possess in living for Christ. But when we allow our influence to become tainted by sin and to be influenced by the world, then men will walk upon our example, so to speak, and we will become pretty much useless to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wind up being cast out as a vessel by the Lord. I would not like for my life, I would like for my life to be useful for Him. I would like for Him to be able to use my life to bring others to Him. And I really would like to be a blessing and a light for the Lord. And I believe that every child of God listening tonight does as well. So I think that we all would want to become a salty Christian, so to speak, for the glory of God. Even the Apostle Paul knew that the potential always existed to be cast away. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, Apostle Paul says, "But I disciplined my body and kept it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." I see that potential in my life as well. And I don't want that. How about you? I really like the way the Amplified version of this verse reads. It says, "But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service." So in closing tonight, this evening, can you honestly say that your life is like salt in this world? Again, salt being our influence, is your influence what it ought to be? Is your influence less than it has been? There's a tremendous need for every child of God to be all that God wants him to be. In these days, and I think that's been that way ever since the church was formed. The devil is using all the tools that he has to ruin your influence for God. We have seen enough falsehoods, hypocrisy, weak living in the world. We need to be about the business of purifying or preserving, pleasing and promoting so that the Lord can use our lives and our influence for His glory. God needs us to be a salty Christian. So again, guard your influence. Don't be carried away with sinful living that would cause you to lose that valuable thing called influence. And parents, grandparents, we need to protect our children and our grandchildren. We need to be a good influence over them and protect the influence that others have over them. A bad example in front of them, a bad habit indulged in, can undermine your influence that you have for God. So don't let that happen. Whose life is your influence impacting the most? What are the results of the decisions that you and I are making for myself, for my family, for my friends? Our influence, whether good or bad, will have a profound effect on everyone around us, on everyone that we come into contact with. So we should be doing all we can to have a good influence, and certainly by following Christ is the easiest way to have a good influence. We never close the lesson without offering the invitation. The Bible teaches that if you're not a child of God, that you must believe, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to his church. Also, if there be an erring child of God who is in need of prayer, well, the advocate is, you have an advocate with the Father as well. So if there be one subject to the invitation, will you not come while we stand and while we sing?